3 tonight. We're going to look specifically at one verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 was addressed specifically to Christian wives who were living in some very difficult situations. Husbands were not left out. Peter addresses the Christian husband in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It's kind of a flip of what takes place in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus about marriage. Paul devotes more words to the Christian husband there in that text than he does to the Christian wife. If you examine Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see that the majority of the verses are spoken to the Christian man. 1 Peter 3 is kind of a reverse of this. In Peter's letter, the majority of the verses are addressed to the wife, with just one verse being addressed to the husband. Why is that the case? Well, I can't tell you specifics, but I do know with what Peter is addressing in 1 Peter 3, wives were in a very difficult place. The Christian wives were experiencing a whole new situation, and they needed godly guidance. In general, women within the Roman Empire were being oppressed. In addition, now many of them had unsaved husbands and needed extra encouragement and enlightenment, and that's what Peter provides them. Having said all of that, Peter still had a powerful message for husbands. The final verse in this section addresses the Christian man. It's short, but it's powerful. It is packed with strong imperatives, and tonight we're going to take a look together. You husbands, likewise. Peter has just addressed the wives. Now he turns to the husbands. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We're going to start with this phrase, live with your wives. This implies much more than sharing the same address. Marriage is a physical relationship. All the way back in Genesis chapter 2, when God instituted this relationship, the words that God used to describe the marriage, that intimacy, it was this phrase, the two shall become one flesh. Of course, Christian spouses also share a deep spiritual relationship. It really takes into account every aspect of our lives. When you look at the relationship between a husband and a wife, you have the emotional side, the physical side, and the spiritual side. A spiritual husband, a Christian husband, will fulfill his marital responsibilities and love his wife the way Paul described in Ephesians 5. Now, we don't have time to go back and look at Ephesians 5. Let me remind you of what Paul said. Paul told Christian husbands to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to love your wife as your own body, and to love your wife as yourself. That was Paul's message in Ephesians 5, challenging Christian husbands to treat their wives and to love them the way Christ loved the church. Now, what will this look like? There is a depth of intimacy in this phrase that's used by Peter. Providing a living should never become a substitute for sharing deeply in life. And there's a lot of men who feel that's their main responsibility. If I provide for my family physically, if I take care of their physical needs, then I have fulfilled my responsibilities. Now, that's a part of it. But there's so much more to the relationship, so much more to marriage than just providing a physical income. What Peter is looking for, what he's challenging Christian men to do, is invest. Invest their time, invest their lives with their wives. It's going to take a lot of time. One survey that I read revealed that the average husband and wife had 37 minutes a week together in actual conversation. Like, wow. Over the course of an entire week, 37 minutes of actual sit-down, face-to-face conversation. Is it any wonder why marriages fall apart after the children grow up and leave home? Husbands and wives are left alone to live with strangers. They look across the table at somebody they don't even know anymore. The husband, according to Peter, needs to live with his wife, understanding every room in her heart and being sensitive to her needs. Living together definitely means more than eating at the same table, sharing the same bed, and paying for the same mortgage. Peter's going beyond that. Next, Peter addresses another part of the relationship. Peter addressed the physical with that phrase, live with your wives. Next, he moves into the intellectual side of the relationship. Live with your wives in accordance to knowledge. You know, that phrase literally means to know everything about them. It's not academic knowledge that Peter's talking about. It's a thorough understanding of how your wife is put together. For men, if we think about that, really understanding how our wife is wired, how she is put together, we might think that physics might be an easier subject to study. Here are some things that you should know as a husband. Put your knowledge about your wife to the test. What makes her scared? What makes her anxious? What makes her depressed? What is she concerned about? What are her dreams and aspirations? What are her fears? What does she need from you? Why does she respond the way she does to certain things? Now, just one of those questions is big, but you go through a list like that, it shows the thoroughness that we really need concerning the knowledge of another person. In Psalm 139, David talks about God and how God knows us as his creation. And David writes that God is intimately acquainted with us. I don't know of a word that's deeper and more personal than that word intimate to describe the knowledge that you have of somebody. That's how God knows us, intimately. And it's how we should know each other as spouses, as husbands and wives. And these questions I just rattled off, these are questions that we should know the answer to if we really know our wives intimately. We understand that every creation is a unique vessel, carefully crafted and beautifully woven by our Creator. To know your wife, it means you can answer those complex questions concerning her. There's no one handbook for these insights into her life. You can't go to the manual and see how everything is put together and get the answers. Again, it's going to take an investment of time. It takes listening. It takes patience. It takes paying attention. It takes a lot of prayer, praying for insight. And it's something that we have to desire. If you look at what Peter lays out here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 for husbands, this is something that you have to want. Because it's not just going to happen by chance. It's not going to happen accidentally. You just won't come to this level of understanding about a person by chance. To live with your wives in an understanding way, it's going to take a lot of investment, a lot of effort. And if you were to ask most wives what they long for and what many wives feel are missing in their relationships with their husbands, it's probably this. Few things will give your wife more security than knowing that you as her husband really know her. This is what leads to intimacy. This is what takes that relationship to a different level. We shouldn't settle for just the superficial physical relationship, and that's what many people do in marriage. Over time, that relationship should grow. It should grow on an emotional level. It should grow, certainly, on a spiritual level. Someone asked Mrs. Albert Einstein if she understood and knew Dr. Einstein's theory of relativity. She replied, "No, but I understand the doctor." Do you know your spouse? Do you know your spouse intimately? Those questions that I rattled off, do you know the answers? What makes her scared? What is she fearful of? What are her dreams, her aspirations? What makes her nervous? What is she chasing after in life? Do you really know the answers to those questions? I want you to consider this for just a moment. There's a book titled His Needs, Her Needs. And it goes through and highlights some of the basic general needs that men and women have in the marriage relationship. If you were asked to list the three most important needs of your spouse right now, could you do it? If you had to write down the three most important needs that your husband or wife has right here in the present, would you be able to complete that task? What if we took it a step further? Could you write down what their three most important needs are, and then also identify how you meet those needs in the relationship? What it is that you do specifically to meet their need for affection, to meet their need for friendship, to meet the need, whatever it is. Husbands and wives should be able to do this. As a husband, I should be able to list the most important needs of Shannon. And I should know what it is that I can do that actually speaks to her meeting those needs. But I believe there's couples that have been married years and years who would probably fail that test because they don't take time to learn. They don't ask the questions. They don't communicate on that deeper level. Ignorance is dangerous in any area of life, but it's especially dangerous in marriage. If we're ignorant of our spouse's needs, it's not good. It's going to lead to trouble. Here's the bottom line of this text. Here's the bottom line of what Peter is saying to husbands. Get to know your wives. Get to know them intimately. Next, Peter moves to this phrase, grant her honor. This phrase taps into the emotional component of marriage. We've looked at the physical side, live with your wives. We've also looked at the emotional side in an understanding way. Now we move here to this phrase, grant her honor. We've addressed the physical, the intellectual, and now we tackle the emotional. The same word that Peter uses here, if you look at this word honor, the same word that Peter uses here, it's used in 1 Peter 1:19 in reference to the precious blood of Christ. Now consider that parallel. When Peter encourages husbands to grant their wives honor, the very same word was used previously in this letter to signify the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a significant analogy. It shows how big this is. This is a big task. This is a challenging assignment that Peter lays out in front of Christian husbands. Maybe the Christian husbands are thinking, all right, we just got one verse. My wife, she's got six verses. I've just got one. I'll be careful because there's a lot packed into this one verse. Addressing the physical relationship, the intellectual relationship, and now the emotional relationship. Consider this description of honor. If you go back to the first century, if you were to go back to ancient writings, something of honor was something of substance. Literally, it was something that was heavy. It was valuable, costly, even priceless. That's how Peter uses the word to describe the blood of Christ. It's priceless. And he uses that same word to describe how husbands should treat their wives. Not only does it signify something or someone who is a priceless treasure, but it's also used for someone who occupies a highly respected position in our lives, someone high on our priority list. And the greater the cost of the gift, the more the honor. Now, what is the best gift that you've ever been given? For anybody who's in Christ, for anybody who has been baptized into Jesus, we know without a doubt the best gift, the most costly gift It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me of my sin. That's why Jesus is worthy of more honor than anybody else or anything else. That is the most costly of any item ever. But second to that, isn't it our relationship with our spouse? If I gave you guys another assignment in here, and I asked you to make a list of the three top priorities in your lives, we would put God first, we would put our family second, and something else would fall into that third category. That's what we would write on paper. What are we living with our lives? Can God look at our life and tell that He is above everything else? Can God look at how we live day by day and be able to see I'm their priority? Can God look at my life as I live it day to day, week to week, and come to this conclusion? In Philip's life, God is most important. What about our spouses? Can our wives, can our husbands look at our lives and see how important they really are? What Peter is describing is how husbands should treat their wives. Live with your wife. Know your wife. Honor your wife. How do we honor something? How do we bestow honor on somebody? Well, typically we do it by assigning them the top priority on our list of human relationships, in our schedules, and most important, in our hearts. Let me ask you a personal question. How do you treat your wife on an average day? Do you honor her? Do you give her a place of significance? Does she know she's your top priority? Do you communicate this both in action and in words? Honoring someone is never something that you keep to yourself. It's always something that's visible. It's something that's expressed. This is a magnificent truth that God has given us. What I love about God's word, what I love about the plans that He lays out for us, whether it's the plan of salvation or the plan for the home. The plans that God has given us, they'll work. This will work in your marriage relationship. Now consider what will happen to your relationship with your wife if you actually do this. I believe that this can revolutionize your home. It'll work. Peter has addressed the physical side of the relationship. We know that's important. All the way back in Genesis 2, the two shall become one flesh. The physical is important in that relationship. He's also addressed the intellectual side, getting to know each other, being able to say, I know my wife intimately. I know those the answers to those big questions of life. He's addressed the emotional side. And he closes by examining the spiritual part of the relationship. Here in just one verse, Peter, he covers every base, every aspect of the relationship. And the last phrase here addresses the spiritual. If you're serious about building a strong marriage relationship, then you have to do this. There's just some things that have to be present in a relationship for it to be built on God. There are some things that we have to do, we must do, if we're going to take that relationship to the level that God desires. In this last phrase, it captures that. Not only do we address the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, but we also must take care of the spiritual so that your prayers may not be hindered. So God, what you're telling me as a Christian man is that if I don't treat my wife the right way, if I don't fulfill what you've given me to do as a husband, that's going to hinder my relationship with you, and it certainly will. If our relationship with God is where it needs to be, it's going to make every other relationship that we have better. If your relationship with God is strong, you'll be a stronger dad. You'll be a stronger mom. You'll be a stronger child. You'll be a stronger husband, a stronger wife. If you are close to God, every other relationship that you have is going to benefit from that. We need to take care of what matters most in life. It's time for us to not just write down answers on a piece of paper. It's time for us to not simply go through some mental exercise where somebody asks us what matters most in your life. Oh, God does, and my family second. It's time for us to not just give lip service to it, but to actually live that way. To truly address these relationships that matter more than anything else. Peter assumed that husbands and wives would do this. But often we don't. And this is the reason for much failure and unhappiness. You could probably look at your marriage and where you have areas of struggle. And Peter probably addresses it right here in this one verse. I would contend that it is the prayer life of a couple that indicates how things are going in the home. Husbands and wives need their own time to pray. They need their own independent lives in certain areas. But husbands and wives, the two shall become one. We also need time together. We need time and prayer together. I want you to notice the phrase, fellow heirs, right up above this. As Peter talked about granting your wife honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, think about this word picture that Peter paints. How would you describe it? How would you describe what Peter is looking to tell these first century Christians? How would you capture the essence of that phrase? To me, it's an image of a husband and a wife helping each other make it to heaven. Isn't that what Peter wants? Certainly what he wants for his own life. He took the time to write this letter, to talk to people about relationships, a relationship between master and slave, the relationship between husbands and wives. Peter wanted people to be able to go to heaven. We need to surround ourselves with people who are going to help us make it home. And that has to apply to the marriage relationship. I can't think of a more enduring picture of what marriage should be about than helping each other spiritually. I can't think of a more beautiful picture of what that relationship should look like day in and day out. So take a look at this verse again. Do you know your wife in a physical sense? Do you know your wife intellectually, emotionally? And most important, do you know her spiritually? Peter lays out a big challenge here to Christian husbands. We should take it to task. We should make it our goal within that relationship to live out what Peter writes here in this verse. It'll make a difference in your life. I promise you it will make a difference in your home. Tonight, maybe you're struggling. We struggle in our marriage relationships. I was only halfway joking when I said Shannon was up here to greet me when I respond. Because we struggle. Anytime I preach on this particular subject, it's humbling. Because I know I come up short way too often. In this relationship, it's challenging. One of the great blessings of a church family is the encouragement and help that we can offer each other. If we can do that for you tonight, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.